Acts 27. We started a little series a couple of weeks ago on Bible numbers. And we just did a little series called 1, 2, 3, Jesus Loves Me. And we were looking at the significance of biblical numbers. Now, I didn't want to do a series that just went through every number from 1 up to 12, and then, you know, the usual ones then, 40, 70, 144, 153. But what I wanted to do was just look at different types of numbers in the Bible. So rather than just doing, oh, number 4 represents the earth because you've got the 4 points of the compass and what have you, and then looking at it at that, I just wanted to see if somewhere in the Bible 4 appeared in a particular way. And what I want to look at tonight in Acts chapter 27 is the fact that Paul mentions 4 anchors. 4 anchors. So that's what I'd like us to look at tonight as we look at the number 4. In Acts 27, Paul is being transported to Rome. He was on a ship. A boat gets caught in a terrible storm. No matter what the sailors try and do, they can't steady the ship. And everything they try and do fails. But on board that ship was a man by the name of Paul. And he was a special man. He belonged to God. He was commissioned by God. He was a man of faith. He was in fellowship with God. And because of who he was anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love those hymns, you know, I'm anchored in Jesus. Or I love the hymn, when you anchor hold, will it anchor hold in the storms of life? And we do have an anchor. You know, and that anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what storms may buffet us, we have the opportunity to drop our anchor and to know that nothing that comes our way is going to cause us to become shipwrecked in our spiritual walk. So, there are 4 anchors that these sailors throw overboard to steady the ship. But they didn't work. The physical anchors that they threw overboard didn't work. But Paul was anchored in a far better way than these sailors were. So what were these 4 anchors that Paul had that made all the difference in his life? Let's have a look. Acts 27 and verse 13. It says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euclidean. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up their used helps, under girding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colour, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let it fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and for our time together tonight. We thank you for the privilege of your word, Lord, and for being able to come around it this evening. We just ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. We recognize the fact in life we face many storms as individuals, Father. There are many times our ship, as it were, is tossed about on the tempestuous seas and of life, and we just pray that you'd help us to understand that we too have an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look at Paul's life, as we look at his testimony upon board this ship, Lord, may we recognize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we recognize the foundation we have. May we recognize the presence that we have. May we recognize the power that we have at our disposal because of who we serve. So, Father, I just pray that as we look at these four anchors that Paul is secured in, that we might find hope for those times where we too find ourselves upon the storm. Father, we pray that if there's one here tonight who has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night that they would call upon his name and that they would put their faith and trust in him and him alone, and that sacrificial price paid upon Calvary for their sins to be forgiven. And Father, we understand that they would be rejoicing in heaven over that sinner that repents, and that eternal life awaits them for those who call upon his name. So Father, we just pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So an anchor is a device normally made of metal used to connect a vessel to the bed of a body of water to prevent the craft from drifting due to wind or current. The word derives from the Latin ancora. So it is to prevent drifting. You know, there are many times in our Christian lives that we drift, and it's easy to drift. How many of you remember going down to Barry Island when you were younger? And I haven't been on the beach for, I know we'd normally go with the kids, but we've got the top end of the beach. So have they still got the numbers? They've still got the numbers. And I always remember we'd go down with, I'd go down with my grandparents, and they would always, parents, and they would always say to you, keep an eye on the numbers. And you'd go out into the water, and you'd be swimming around, and you were sure that you were right opposite your number. And before you knew it, you were down the other end of the beach because the current had taken you. It's easy to drift when you take your eye off what you're meant to keep your eye on. I was meant to keep my eye on the number, but you were so busy in the water, you'd missed the fact that you drifted, and then you kind of thought, I'm okay, until you look for the number again. And then you realize that you drifted. We have an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ to keep us as Christians where we're meant to be. Because when we take our eyes off the Lord, we will drift. When we take our eyes off the Lord, and that doesn't matter if we're in a storm or not, if we take our eyes off the Lord, we'll drift. Can I say this to you, that we need the anchor of the Lord Jesus Christ more so when we're in the storm of life? And it's not if we enter the storms of life, it is when we enter the storms of life that we need the anchor of the Lord in our lives. I don't know if you've ever been on a boat in a storm. As much as we know that boat should, for all intents and purposes, float, when a boat is caught in a storm, no matter how large the vessel is, it's a bit of a scary thing. And it can be like that sometimes when we are in the storms of life. It can be scary. It can be frightening to find yourselves tossed about by the storms of life. And it seems as if wave after wave after wave after wave is just buffeting you a little boat, and it feels as if the storm will never pass. Paul was being taken to Rome as a captive. We understand that Paul is eventually going to lose his life in Rome. And he went through many storms on the way to Rome. He went through many storms as he journeyed towards the end of his life. But just as there were four physical anchors cast off the back of the ship, Paul had four spiritual anchors that kept him grounded, as it were, that kept him from drifting in the many storms that he faced. The first anchor Paul had was the anchor of God's presence. In verse 23, Paul said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul found the fact that even though he was in the midst of the storm, he was not alone. And that's the thing, we're never alone in the storm that we face. The Lord came to Paul and ministered peace to his heart. Isn't it amazing in those times that God takes the time to come and minister to those of his children in need? When Elijah came down off Mount Carmel and wanted to end his life because Jezebel had threatened him, what happened? God took him aside, ministered to his needs, and then met with him in a special way. And it's amazing when we find those low points in our lives, sometimes can be some of the most precious times that we ever spend with the Lord. Didn't you ever notice as a child, let me ask you this question. How many times did you catch up with a parent? You climb up onto a lap or, you know, have a cuddle, as it were. Can I say this, that the cuddles and the crutches as a child meant far more when you'd hurt yourself than they did on any other normal day? The amount of times you'd come in with a grazed knee. I know kids today now don't know what it's like to play outside, but we used to play outside. And you'd fall. And you'd graze yourself. And you'd, even if you fell on grass, you always ended up with gravel in your knee. Like, where did that come from? When every time you fell, you'd end up with all this gravel stuck in your knee. But you'd go home. Well, I would anyway. Perhaps I shouldn't be saying this. I just want to climb up on the mom's lap. I don't know why not dad's lap. I don't know. Apparently, mams had magic spit. They just kissed it and everything was made better. And I don't know. But those crutches felt far more special in the times that you were hurt than at any other time. Can I say this to you? That when we're in the low point of our lives, that when we find ourselves in the storm, that when we find ourselves in the struggle, that's the time that God's presence means far more to us than it normally does. Regardless of the storm that tosses your life or mine, we have the confidence that he is with me. That's what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. We can never get rid of that presence. David said, whither shall I go from thy presence? It doesn't matter where I turn, to the left, to the right, you're in front of me, behind me, above me, underneath me, all around me. It doesn't matter. If I make my bed in hell, it doesn't matter where I go, you're there. We can't outrun God's presence. And as a child of God, that presence means even more to us in the times of difficulty. What an encouragement to know that we'll never face that difficult time alone. We'll never face that difficulty. We'll never face that trouble. Every step, every valley, every mountain, every step we take will be graced by God's presence. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We'll never be out of God's presence as a child of God. It would be a blessing if we enjoyed the manifest presence of God as Paul did. But even when we can't see him, even when we don't feel like he's there, I spoke a couple of weeks ago on the storm when Christ was in the boat, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm outside of the boat. That's how bad the storm is. I'm not even in the boat in the storm. I'm outside of the boat, and the Lord is sleeping on the boat. You know, even though we don't feel his presence or we don't feel like he's with us, we're never out of his gaze. He's always there watching us. He's always there keeping an eye on us. He's always there protecting us. He's always there being God. I read a story this week of a Dr. Tony Campello says that when he was a boy growing up, he grew up in a hustling, bustling city, and his mother arranged for somebody to walk him to and from school every day. It was one of the girls in the local neighborhood, and, you know, as a young boy, I don't know, 8, 9 years of age, he hated that. He hated the fact that a girl was walking him back and forth to school. And he said to his mum, look, there's no need to pay this girl, I think it was like 5 cents or a dime, a time to walk him to and from school. He said, there's no need to do that. I can walk myself and, you know, we can save the money and we can, you know, back then I suppose a dime or a nickel was a lot. And he said, we can save that money. So the mum said, okay. I think there was about 8 or 9 blocks that he had to walk. So they had to walk across a couple of, intersections. He had to walk across a couple of busy roads. And the mother said, as long as you promise to stop at the road and look both ways and make sure that you only walk when, you know, when it's safe to walk, and then you can go back and forth to school yourself. And that's what he did. And he was recounting that story years and years later. I think he'd become a minister then, and he was a preacher, and he was recounting that story, how he had found his independence at such a young age. And then his mum pulled him to one side and said, you know what? Every day you walk to school, you were never alone. Because every single day you walk to school, I walk right behind you. And every day you come home from school, she said, I was always out of sight. I was never, you could never see me. You never knew that I was there, but I had my eye on you. Can I say this, that even when we feel like God is not there, when we don't feel his presence, he's got his eye on us. Because he's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. It might feel like sometimes we're in the storm on our own. It might feel like sometimes we've been thrown out of the boat, as it were. But he's never left us. Because that's the promise that he made to us, to never leave us and never forsake us. Our first anchor is the fact that we have God's presence. Our second anchor is the fact that we have God's assurance. In verse 24, the angel of God said to Paul, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. As Paul weathered this terrible storm, the Lord came to him with an assurance. He gave Paul his word. You know, when God makes a promise, God fulfills those promises. When God says something to us, God comes through with his word. You know how many of us have ever made a promise to anybody and have not been able to fulfill that promise? Maybe on purpose, maybe through circumstances beyond our control. But sometimes we make promises, and we can't always fulfill those promises. You know, our word is not always perfect. We haven't got that assurance that we can, completely 100% trust that person, because sometimes circumstances beyond our control cause us to go back on something that we may have said previously. But Paul knew God was good to his word, being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was also able to perform. If God gives us an assurance in something, guess what? God's going to come through. God is good to his word. His promises are steadfast and sure, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. It is impossible for God to lie. You know, that's why I struggle sometimes when people say, oh yeah, well, you know, God has finished with Israel and God's not going to do it. God can't have finished with Israel because God promised. And God cannot lie. So regardless of what your view is on whether the church has replaced Israel or whether there's a future for Israel or whether, it doesn't matter what our view is, that's what God has said. God has promised Israel a certain amount of land, and whether they haven't received it yet, and one day they will. Why? Because God will fulfill his promise. Because God's promises are sure. His word is steadfast. His word is pure. His word is settled forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. Nothing that we say can cause him to change his mind. We have that assurance. A man by the name of Dr. Everett R. Storms of Ontario spent a vast amount of time studying the promises of Scripture. He says this, the Holy Scriptures contain a grand total of 8,810 promises. How do I know? He said, I counted them. All my life I have seen various figures quoted as to the number of promises in the Bible. The one most generally given is 30,000. Since that is a round number with four zeros in it, I have always been a little suspicious. Furthermore, there are only 31,101 verses in the Bible, so that would mean there was practically one promise in every single verse. I do not guarantee my count to be perfect, but it is the most accurate that I know of. And this is what he says. There are 7,487 promises from God to man. 85% of all Bible promises are from God to man. There are 991 instances of one person making a promise to another person, 290 promises from man to God, 29 promises made by the angels, most of them found in Luke, 9 promises made by that old liar, the devil, his promise to Jesus to give him the kingdoms of the world if he'll fall down and worship him, 2 promises made by an evil spirit, and 2 are made by God the Father to God the Son. There is one book that contains no promises at all, which is Titus. Ephesians has 6 promises. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel have over 1,000 promises each. God makes a promise, and God comes through on those promises. We have the assurance of God. How do we know that we have his presence as an anchor in our lives? Because we have his assurance that he'll never leave us and never forsake us. So that in itself becomes another anchor. When we see Paul's life, when you just look at Paul's life and you see the hardships that he went through and the shipwrecks and the stonings and the beatings and the batterings and the imprisonments and the hunger and the cold and the nakedness and the fear. He talks about the marks of his body. From henceforth let no man trouble thee, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Time and time again, Paul hurt for the cause of Christ. Time and time again, Paul was persecuted for the cause of Christ. Time and time again, Paul went through the storms, as it were, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had an anchor. He had the assurance that God's word was true. He had the assurance that God's promises were right. He had the assurance that God's presence would never be taken from him. And that assurance from God is an anchor to our soul. That no matter what we face, no matter how battered our boat may be, the anchor will still hold. And then we have the anchor of God's guidance. In verse 24, he said, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Paul is told by the Lord that the storm Paul is going through at that exact moment is all working out as part of God's plan for Paul's life. You know, that's why I'm always a bit nervous about the prosperity gospel, about the health and wealth gospel. You know, that God loves you and has got a marvelous plan for your life. Can I say that that type of gospel wouldn't have washed with Paul? Can you imagine, an evangelist coming up to Paul and saying, "Paul, God loves you and he's got a wonderful plan for your life." And Paul goes, "Oh, great. I can't wait to start this new life." And then he gets to Philippi. And he's beaten and thrown into jail. And then he gets thrown out of Ephesus, and then he's stoned, and then he's imprisoned, and then he's falsely imprisoned. Then he comes before Felix and is left in prison for another 2 years, and then he comes before Festus, and then Herod eventually ships him off to Rome, and then he gets shipwrecked and is on Crete, and then he finally gets to Rome, and God's wonderful plan for Paul's life was for him to die at the hands of Nero. Oh, great. I bet Paul was well thrilled with that wonderful plan for his life. It's not the fact that God has got a wonderful plan for his life, and I do believe that God does have a plan for each and every one of us. The fact of the matter is this: we will face storms. The fact of the matter is this: we will go through trials. The fact of the matter is this: we will face difficulties, persecutions, tribulations, because Christ said, "In this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." There will be difficulties. But this is what I will say. I would rather face the difficulties with God than go through life with no difficulties at all without him. Paul was in God's will. And yes, that storm at that time was a part of God's will for Paul's life. Do we understand God's will in our lives? Do we understand why the storms come? No. Do we appreciate the storms at the time? Absolutely not. But when we come through the other side and we look back on the storm that we've just gone through, then we recognize what God was doing at the time. Then we realize why we went through what we went through. Sometimes it just requires us saying, I know God's in control. I don't understand it. I don't know why people suffer. I don't know why some people suffer more than others. I don't know why some people go through battle after battle after battle like they do with cancer and you know, don't seem to get a foothold on it. And then others, you know, one lot of treatment and it's all clear. I don't understand why that happens. But what I do know is this, God is in control. I don't understand why one person goes through one battle after another, after another, after another, and there seems to be no end to the difficulty that they're going through. And I don't understand why that happens. But I know this, God's still in control. Does that make the storm or the battle any easier? Not always. But we know he's in control, and that anchor, the anchor of his presence and his assurance and his guidance helps us in the storm. Because I would much rather the Lord in my boat. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Can I say this? God is in control. If I didn't know God was in control, can I say this to you? I would really struggle with those storms. You look at the disciples on the boat. When we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, you know, the Lord was in the boat with them. And what happened? They went through a storm. But he was still in the boat. The best thing we can do when the storm rages around us is run to him. You know, it's the same thing. The ship was in the storm. And the men tried to figure it out themselves. They did the same thing in the book of Jonah. You know, they were told what to do. God had already told them through Jonah what to do. But what did they do? They, you know, they lightened the load. They tried to row themselves. And the same year, they try and fix it themselves. But we just need to cling to him. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible winds is as a storm against the wall. We just need to go to him and ask for his help in the storm. Raymond Edmund said in a book called Quietness and Confidence, first, he brought me here. It is by his will I am in this straight place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me the grace to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons he intends for me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. Last, in his good time, he can bring me out again, how and when he knows. Let me say I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. You know, when the storm comes, the one thing the devil wants us to do is jump ship and start swimming. Even after Paul received the great promise of the Lord himself, that all on board the ship would be safe, the men still tried to take matters into their own hands. They sounded and found 20 fathoms. Then they laid down the four anchors. Then they were about to flee out of the ship, and they took matters into their own hands. Even in the face of God's promise, God said, "Fear not, Paul, I will bring him before Caesar. Everybody that's on board, I will give into your hand. They will be safe." But these men in the ship fought and feared and fretted. And there was only one person on board who was enjoying the trip. And that was Paul. Everyone else was struggling. But he knew that God was working, and he used that truth as an anchor. He knew that God was guiding. He knew that God was going to get him to the destination that he needed to be at. Can I say that we live in a day where people are abandoning ship left, right, and center in the Christian walk? That's the easy thing to do. It's not going right, so we'll just walk away from the Lord. The storms of life attack. They attack individually, they attack families, they attack the church. And can I say the best place to be in the storm of life is on the ship where the Lord is the captain and he's the one in charge of the anchors. We have the anchor of God's guidance, of God's assurance, of God's presence. We have the anchor of God's word. Look at verse 44. It says, after the ship came apart, that some rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. What did God promise? God promised that every single one would be saved and not one would be lost. We have God's word. God's word is an anchor. What the Lord told Paul and what Paul believed would happen came to pass. Everybody made it safely to shore. God kept his word. God spared every life. God proved himself to be good to his word. And that's where we need to head to in a time of difficulty. That's where we need to go in a time of storm. We need to head to the word of God. Why? Because it's an anchor. This is what's going to keep us from drifting. This is what's going to keep us safely moored, as it were. This is what's going to keep us from coming apart. God is able to work it out in our storm. It may look this evening like our boat is going to sink, and it may look like the storm in our life is going to prevail, but guess what? God's word says otherwise. Why? Because we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because he's already given us the victory in the battle we face. Because he's already made us a conqueror over the enemy that comes our way. When the waves settle and the winds cease and the rains ease and the storm clouds move off, we'll see that God was in control all along. He secures us during the storm. And he will bring us safely into the harbor. Corrie ten Boom said it this way: when Jesus takes your hand, he keeps you tight. When Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through your whole life. When Jesus leads you through your whole life, he brings you safely home. That's probably one of my most favorite lines in all the hymns that we sing. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. You know, as a young child, what a comfort it was to feel the grip of mom or dad's hand. God's word says he's not going to let us go. Even in the storm that we're in, he won't let us go. Our God is strong and powerful, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here's the thing, if you were saved tonight, God didn't save you to lose you in a storm. God did not save you to lose you in a storm. He saved you to take you home to glory. And he's not going to lose you in the storms of life. Have you set your anchors out this evening? Have you got the anchor of God's presence? Do you know him as your Savior? You know, we go through difficulties whether we're a Christian or not, because that's the fact of life. We'll go through difficulties. Even unbelievers go through health problems and trials and difficulties and financial worries. But the difference between their problems and ours is that we have an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got the anchor of God's presence in your life tonight? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know if you were to die tonight, you would wake up in the glories of heaven? If you don't have that assurance, then you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ tonight before it's too late. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Do you have the anchor of his presence? If you're a child of God, then no matter what storm we go through, we will always have his presence with us. Even if we feel it or not, his presence will still be there. We have the anchor of his assurance. There are certain promises he's made to us. He's promised to give us the victory. He's promised to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. And we have that assurance from the Lord. We have the anchor of his guidance. God will guide us safely to the other shore. God will guide us home. God is our guide in this life. He's not left us here comfortless. He's not left us here rudderless. We've got the anchor of his guidance. We've got the anchor of his word. You know, the first thing that we tend to do in a storm is start to throw things overboard, lighten the load, get things off the ship. That's the first thing that they do in a storm. And one of the things that goes is the most important thing we need in our lives, especially in a storm. We need the anchor of God's word. You know, we can't fix our situation. We can't calm the raging seas that we find ourselves in. We can't still the winds. We can't steer the ship, as it were. But what we do need is the Lord's help. We need the Lord's help in our storm, because we can't do it on our own, because it's hard, because it's tough, because it feels like not just the ship is coming apart, but that we are coming apart. We need God's help. We need God's anchors. We just simply need to come to a place where we rely upon him 100%. Because we're not always going to understand the storm that we face. But what we need to know is this: the anchor will hold. Why? Because ultimately he's the anchor. And that's all we need to know in the storms that we will face in this life. I wonder if you've cast out your anchors from your ship, if you find yourself in the storm of life, rest assured that you will have God's presence, God's assurance, God's guidance, and God's word as a stabilizing anchor in the storm that you face. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word. And Father, we just pray that you'd help us this evening to recognize the fact that we do indeed have an anchor. Father, I just pray that if there's any here tonight who are facing those storms of life, and Father, I know that there are some that have shared some burdens with me, Lord, and I know that there are some who are facing difficulties and trials and troubles. And Father, maybe there's one here tonight who is struggling on that ship in that storm. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to hearts tonight, that you would help us, Lord, to recognize the fact that we never face these storms alone, that we never face these storms with uncertainty, because we have your presence and your promise. Father, we never face these storms with a lack of direction, because we know that you will indeed guide us safely home. And Father, we never face these storms unaware of what to do, because we have your word. So Father, I just pray that you would help us to cast out those anchors, as it were, that we might hold fast in the storm, not because of who we are or not because of the type of boat that we've got, but simply because of who you are. Father, I just pray that you would help each and every person here tonight who finds themselves in a storm, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would help them, Lord, and help them realize that it will be okay. No matter how high the waves go, no matter how battered the ship is, it will be okay because you are in control. Father, we just pray that you would just speak comfort to the hearts of those who are struggling, that you would provide the peace needed for those who are hurting, and that you would provide the calm needed for those finding themselves in the midst of such difficult storms. Father, we just pray and ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing 441. 441, will you anchor hold in the storms of life, and we'll stand as we sing. Amen. Thank you.